Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello and welcome to Tamri Live. I'm fitness expert and personal trainer Tamri Segundo, and you'll want to perk up your ears for this week's show because it really applies to all of us. Yes, I said all of us, and that's rare that a show applies to everybody. But everybody within earshot of my voice has either had cancer, knows or loves someone who's had cancer, or died of cancer, or will one day get cancer. And with cancer rates on a meteoric rise, it feels like life is just a game of Russian roulette, and we're waiting to see if and when it's our turn to deal with the big C. But is that really the case? Is getting cancer a game of odds, or do we have more control than we may think? Now, I'm a big believer that regardless of family history or genetic predisposition, the way we live, meaning the way we eat and the way we drink and sleep and work and play and exercise and breathe and even think, has a much greater impact on the outcome of our health than genes or family history or just the luck of the draw. And my guest today agrees with me, and he also agrees that if you are touched by cancer, there are ways to deal with it that don't involve shooting poisonous chemicals into your veins or exposing yourself to radiation or removing body parts. So without further ado, please join me in welcoming returning guest Dr. Thomas J. Iannello. He's a doctor of chiropractic and a master clinician of nutrition response testing, which evaluates and restores the hormonal and adrenal systems using functional medicine and individualized detox programs. And he believes, as do I, that if the body is really balanced and healthy, cancer cells don't stand a chance against your immune system. So welcome, Dr. Tom.
Thank you very much, Tamri. Nice to talk to you again.
I love talking to you because you have someone consider it a radical approach. I don't consider it radical. I consider it actually very common sense, sensical. But, you know, there are different thoughts in different circles. And I know that, I don't know about you, but like in my family, I'm considered the crazy person, the heretic, because of my thoughts about medicine and how to treat disease, especially chronic disease. And I don't care that I'm considered the heretic. I also look the best and feel the best of any of them. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, results often speak for themselves. But, you know, in your family, does your whole family think like this, or are you kind of like I am? I'm sort of out on the outside of the family.
Yeah, this has been an evolving parameter in my own personal family. I mean, I lost my father to lung cancer about 25 years ago.
Oh, geez.
And at that time, I was actually in study to become a chiropractor. And I remember when we were speaking with the oncologist, and I was looking at my father's MRIs, and he was riddled with cancer in his bones, his lungs, his brain, and they're trying to tell my mom that he's going to be fine. And I had already known that the cancer was systemic, and I understood that this was really not a really true hope. Now, I believe in hope, but not this type of hope. This is where you're not telling somebody the true outcome. As it turned out, my father was diagnosed in November and died by March. So it was a four-month cascading, very difficult time for the family. But I remember when my mother was dealing with it, she was not getting the true facts from the physician. She was being told, well, this is the best we know how to do, and this is going to work, and he's in remission. You know, what they called remission was the fact that when the cancer had spread to my father's brain, he was beginning to not be able to make a complete sentence. You'd be on the phone with him, and the conversation would just stop because he forgot he was even talking to you. And then as they radiated him, they shrunk what was in his brain, which allowed his brain to at least, you know, make sentences, and cognitively he seemed better. But the root of the cancer was coming from his lung tissue, and that really never healed. So the reason why you and I are the nutcases out there is because we've actually looked at what are more of the underlying causes of cancer. And through research and probably through people that we know that there are better ways to treat this where people have actually survived and never had any chemotherapy and radiation.
Well, you know what, Dr. Tom, the thing is you're a doctor. I'm not. I do talk to what I consider to be, because of this show, that is, some of the most intelligent minds that are out there. I mean, I'm lucky enough to, like, interact with people that I think are so smart and so genius. The reason I have the feelings that I have is because personally, not with cancer, but in other health crises, Western medicine has let me down. And again, I don't slam Western medicine. Again, if I'm in a boating accident and my arm is pulled from my body, I'm not going to go see you. I'm going to go to the ER where they can put me back together, and I'm going to be very grateful to be able to go. What I'm saying is I in my own life have suffered with chronic conditions where I was told by Western medicine physicians, honey, there's nothing wrong with you. It's all in your head. And there was a lot wrong with me, and it wasn't until I found Chinese medicine that looked at me systemically. And, you know, Chinese medicine and energy medicine and things that have been tested and tried and true for thousands of years that I was cured. And so, I don't think that many people don't give enough credence to what nutrition can or can't do for you. I told you on another show, and this was how this show came about. I forgot what you and I were talking about on that show, but on the last show you were on, a friend of mine whose sister was diagnosed with cancer and was being treated at Sloan Kettering here in New York City, when I met her prior to the cancer resurfacing, she had already beaten cancer once, and she was living on a very high-sugar, high-processed food diet. And I said, oh, please don't do that. Please consider, you know, cleaning up your diet and let me help you. I'll teach you how to eat. I'll do all this stuff. And I said, because, you know, cancer cells just feed on sugar and, you know, you're making your body acidic, and when you're acidic and you've got a low pH, cancer cells and all diseases just thrive. And nobody listened to me. And within 4 months of me conversing with her, in fact, the cancer came back. And then just a few months ago, back in July, this past summer, she did die.
I am sorry.
But I'm sorry for her, but again, she was the one that you and I talked to, and she almost seemed to want to have cancer in a weird way, like she would take her cancer pills with Yoo-Hoo,
mm-hmm.
the chocolate drink,
mm-hmm.
and she would take her cancer medication with a sugary, with Yoo-Hoo. Remember when we were kids, Yoo-Hoo,
sure.
that chocolate milk?
Yes.
So I begged her. So in other words, and her brother, I said to her brother, I said, please get her to listen to me. And he said, listen, we go to Sloan Kettering, which is the best in the world. They never mention sugar.
Right. I know we have a lot of information we want to deliver, but I just want to break this down for, and I know everybody on the call is going to understand what I'm going to say. Basically, the medical profession has made their mark in the cancer industry. They make between $300 and $400 billion a year in diagnosis and treatment of cancer. Unfortunately, in this world, and you'll agree with me, you have to follow the money. So the medical profession uses the medical mindset with chemotherapy and radiation treatment as the means to generate the income they generate from cancer treatment and diagnosis. Now, the average person who does not dig and look like we do in the media and reading and what have you just goes by all the brainwashed nonsense that we see on television, media, and in print. So I'd say out of the average 100 people on the street, 90 out of 100 people, and I think I'm being liberal, are going to say, yeah, if you get cancer, you go get chemotherapy, radiation. And as a matter of fact, in this country, legally, by law, the only way to treat cancer in a medical facility is with chemotherapy and radiation. So we're brainwashed from birth to believe that this is the way to go. Now comes along these crazy alternative guys that start looking at it from a different perspective and actually have the nerve to think and say, now, wait a minute. Why does one get cancer? What is the precursor to cancer? Oh, let me go look up some, you know, Nobel Prize-winning research that goes back to 1931 with Dr. Warburg when he won the Nobel Prize and discovered two major things about cancer, which you already, you know, precluded to on your opening. Number one, cancer thrives in an acidic environment. Factual, indisputable truth. Number two, cancer cannot survive in an oxygen-rich environment. Those two factors alone, if we just really worked on those two factors alone, you could probably eradicate 50% of cancers that are diagnosed every day. Absolutely, without a doubt. Now, the question remains, why on earth would the good people of the medical profession have the audacity to not educate their patients on why they should do this? Well, if they turn around and told you how to treat your cancer, why would you go see them for cancer treatment?
Can I tell you something, though? That really breaks my heart.
I know you're going to say that to me because you say that all the time.
But doesn't it make you sad? I mean, I don't want to believe.
Well,
I want to believe.
It used to actually make me very angry as a younger physician. I'm 21 years into profession now. And, you know, I think I've matured in some ways. And what I've learned is that I have to look at things from the perspective of what is mainstream medicine and what I know to be truth. And I have to tell you, the truth end of it gets much less respect than the mainstream medicine approach, and that's just reality. And I'm okay with that, because I already know that to be true. Does that mean that I bury my head in the sand and don't speak up? Absolutely not. That's why I love talking to people like you, because we're sitting here, and we have, like I said, we have the nerve to rationalize and think and find solutions. And I'm proud to say that I know I have the solution to cancer. I have no fear whatsoever about cancer or getting it or even having to deal with it, because I know I can handle it. And I'm very, very sure I can handle it.
Well, what upset me is I feel like it is becoming more mainstream knowledge that cancer cells thrive on sugar. I mean, like, come on. Like, a lot of people who have, a lot of things, I would think that people would have come far enough to understand that there's a component of nutrition in overall immune system health, immune system power. And I was floored when this girl who had already beat cancer once, and I begged her to, I wanted to work with her for free. I was like, please just, because this was a friend, this was a sister of a friend. And I said, please just listen to me, consider what I'm saying. And she wouldn't. And you know, you and I came to this conclusion on the last show, not to speak ill of the deceased, but I started to get the impression that her whole, because I noticed that the family all rallied around her. Oh, poor Jane, poor Jane, poor Jane. So, and I started to think, if she actually got 100% well, I don't know what her identity would be anymore.
Yeah, see, nobody would even pay attention to her. So your girlfriend used cancer as a means to draw attention to herself. She went into her empathetic, sympathetic mode, and everybody rallied around her, just like you
said.
It made her feel better about herself. It gave her an identity.
Yeah, like, I don't get that much attention, doctor. Nobody rallies around me for nothing, you know.
Tara,
she can handle it.
That's what it is. It was a topic of conversation. It was her opening line every time she met a friend. It gave her a reason to perk up and speak. And it's funny, I bet when you were speaking to her and she started talking about it, it actually brought her, she was probably enthusiastic about talking about it.
Well, actually, when we talked, again, I only met her once, and when we talked, it was like you just said the opening line. I met her at a wedding, actually, and I said, hi, how are you feeling? And the first words out of her mouth were how bad she felt and all that.
Right.
So in other words, it gave her, it was like an opening line, and it was, oh, poor so-and-so.
That's right.
And, you know, all of us, you have to admit this. I mean, I will cop to this. Sometimes when I am sick and I'm at home and, you know, I want someone to go, oh, poor Tara. Like, I want that, you know. No one does it, but I want it. Like, it would feel kind of good. You tell me you don't feel that sometimes.
Oh, we all love to be coddled. Come on.
I would love to be coddled, man.
I'd rather be coddled when I'm not sick, though, than when I am sick.
Well, but the way, what we're taught and conditioned, because I coddle my baby nephews when they hurt themselves or when their tummy hurts. Or,
well, you just said the word. You're conditioned.
Yeah.
Right. Conditioning.
Now, listen. So we've already ascertained, the reason I called this show Outsmarting Cancer is because a lot of people live like it's a game of Russian roulette, like they're just waiting for it to hit them. I believe we have so much control in the matter, and I believe in living rather than reactively, proactively, and tell me you agree with that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so let's make this show not only about what to do if, but how to, like, not let it happen in the first place. But let's just, straight away, what is cancer?
You know, the most logical explanation I've ever heard of it that made sense to me was, again, from Dr. Warburg. Dr. Warburg, in 1931, he won the Nobel Prize for research on cancer.
I want to spell his name. I want to interrupt you,
sure.
Because people are going to want to Google when they get off this show.
Mm-hmm.
It's Otto, O-T-T-O, Warburg.
W-A-R-B-U-R-G.
Yeah, I've got it right here because you sent me these notes. It's Otto War, W-A-R-B-U-R-G.
Warburg.
Yep.
Yes. Nobel Prize 1931. So the way he explained it, that cancer is actually a survival mechanism on a cellular level, because when the oxygen in your body drops so low, the cells in your body begin to mutate to prevent entire regions of your body from dying. Now, we'll know that doesn't make people happy to hear. Believe it or not, the reason why, this is on a physical level now. We're going to get into a metaphysical level in a second. But on a physical level, what's actually happening is cancer is the result of not enough oxygen in your cells, causing your cells to mutate into something else because they don't have any oxygen to feed from.
Let me ask a question.
Yeah.
What depletes and or deprives the cells of oxygen in the first place?
Well, it's a simple thing, even just such as your breathing. So, you know, one of the things I try to teach my patients when they're trying to oxygenate their bodies is how to breathe properly. Most people breathe into their, even if they breathe through their nose, they only breathe as far into their chest. When you breathe, your breath is supposed to go all the way down below your belly button into your solar plexus, because that's really the middle of your body. And with proper training, you can learn how to breathe and send oxygen all the way to your toes, all the way back up to your body, into your arms, and all the way up into your head. And believe it or not, with proper breathing, you would be able to send oxygen to your body. The other thing regarding oxygen is the fact that when you eat acidic foods and you eat processed foods and foods that are not made from a natural source and things that come from containers, because they create free radicals, and because you're eating non-food products, that creates the body being, the oxygen being utilized by the body to process these toxic waste through the body. So what ends up happening is the oxygen that should be present gets exchanged with carbon dioxide and byproducts of improper nutrients. So if you don't eat properly, your oxygen gets burned up trying to process the garbage that you're putting into your system. Now, another thing that robs the body of oxygen, and this is where we go more into a metaphysical or a mental explanation, is stress. So when you're not in a happy place emotionally, you shunt oxygen away from your brain and away from the organ systems that help you digest your food properly to deal with those stressful areas that need that oxygen. And if you deprive yourself through stress with enough oxygen deprivation over a period of time, you opt into that cell mutation that begins because the body's just not getting the oxygen that it needs. So when it comes to solutions, believe it or not, the primary solution in healing your body of cancer is actually to heal yourself on a, I guess you'd say, spiritual or emotional level, because that's what's fueling the cancer.
I believe that.
Oh, I don't believe that. I know that. And I'll even give you a percentage. I'll break it down for you. 86% of our cancers are coming from how we think and who we are.
86%
so
how we think.
We live in suppressive relationships. We stay married to spouses we don't want to be with. We have children that drive us up a wall. We have parents that make us crazy. We have brothers and sisters, friends, associates, business people, bosses, people that we just literally wish would just die because they make our lives miserable. So we, trying to be good people, stick out the relationships even though we're not happy in them. We stay in relationships we don't want to be in because we're doing what's best for our families. We're going to a job that we hate because we have to support our kids. We're dealing with people that we literally wish would just leave us because it's what I got to do in order to make it through life. Yeah, meanwhile, you're suffering, you're miserable, and as a result, your body begins to deteriorate inside. So that's why when people say, what can I do to get better? The first thing I ask them is, why are you sick, and who's making you sick? And they always know.
Yeah. Now, can I ask you a question? So that logically would leave that other 14% to environmental crap?
That's it. That's environmental, that's diet, that's nutrition, that's oxygen, that's acidity, and that's, you know, sugar. Yes.
Because I always like, look at, like...
And genetics.
Well, I always look at, like, the beautiful, like, the little children, like, these beautiful little, like, a three-year-old who comes up with a brain tumor, and I think...
Exactly.
That's got to be the crap that's going on, either in the womb before the child was even born or, you know, since.
Well, it depends on how you want to answer that question. If we're answering in the physical plane of existence, I agree with you, but I answer those questions differently when I talk to people.
Wait, even for, like, little children?
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, I mean, you talk to people, how on earth could there be a God if you would allow a three-year-old to develop leukemia and die? And that's a very difficult question to answer on a physical level. My answer to that question is kind of metaphysical. It's not in the realm of this conversation, so it's not really where you really want me to take it, so I'm not even going to bother.
You want to answer it? Go ahead and answer it. We won't stream off into that thing, but why don't we answer that when we come back? Because we actually have to go to break.
If you want to go there, we can go there.
I mean, just not, I don't want to focus the show on that, but it does disturb me. You know, it does disturb me greatly. I love my baby. You know, I just went to Florida to babysit my beautiful nephews for 5 days while my sister-in-law had to take a trip, and I went to help my brother. And I looked at those beautiful, healthy babies. And they're 4 and 6, and I just said, oh, God, protect them. Protect
sure.
these beautiful little souls with their squeaky little voices and their innocent little eyes, and
yes.
they believe everything I tell them, and they think Santa's coming in a few months. I mean,
yeah,
it's
sure.
You know, please protect them. All right, you guys, we're going to go to break. Today's show is called Outsmarting Cancer, and I want to keep it a happy show about what we can do, but we're going to hear Dr. Tom's quick theory when we get back. Stay with us, Dr. Thomas J. Iannello. He is a doctor of chiropractic and a master clinician of nutrition response testing. We'll be right back.
Train your brain and change your body. Get fit and healthy for life. For over 25 years, Tara Marie Segundo's worked in the fitness industry, and Tara Marie's available for personal consultations by phone. She'll help you build a fitness strategy, design a routine, get past those mental blocks and bad habits, all to get you fit and healthy for life. Put a stop to disordered eating. Tara Marie can help. Have an injury? No problem. Tara Marie can design an exclusive exercise program just for you. What are you waiting for? Get on track and stay on track. And if you're in New York City and want individualized or group personal training, Tara Marie can come to you. So in person or by phone, call Tara Marie now at 877-692-6221. That's 877-692-6221. Or visit TaraMarie.com today. That's TaraMarie.com. TaraMarie.com.
I'm Marie Osmond. Choices, some are minor, others life-changing. But what if your small choices matter the most, like the stairs or the elevator, baked or fried? What if these small choices determine if you'll be the one out of every 3 women who die of heart disease this year? These choices might not seem life-changing today, but women are dying of heart disease at the rate of almost 1 per minute. Luckily, it's mostly preventable. Choose to act. Our hearts, our choice. Make your choice at GoRedForWomen.org.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call EarthChannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978. A better world begins with you. Find out how on HealthyLife.net.
Tara Marie,
beauty, brains, and biceps.
Welcome back. You're listening to Tamarie Live. I am Tamarie Segundo. We're having a provocative conversation today with Dr. Thomas J. Iannello, and we're talking about outsmarting cancer. And Dr. Tom, just before we went to break, you were, again, I don't want to diverge, I don't want to shoot off the whole show or spend a lot of time, but again, I always wonder, and I always blame it on environment. When these beautiful little children, 3 years old, come up with this brain tumor the size of a grapefruit, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. There can be environmental reasons behind diseases. But some things can never be explained by medical science as to why someone, a child, a perfect child.
A little baby, yeah.
Would all of a sudden be born so sick, and there's no indicators that they should be. And when people have come in and told me these stories about their own children, or I have to answer a question when somebody asks me this question with a child that they have dying, my answer always is, I believe that we're all living creatures and that we occupy a physical body. You know, call it a soul or call it your infinite essence. And I'm of the belief that energy cannot be destroyed. And if you agree with Albert Einstein, you would agree that that's correct. So if I have an energy source that's in my body, and just so you know, the human soul weighs 24 grams. If you
I thought it was 21.
Okay, fine.
Okay, because remember that show, 21 grams?
Yeah, if you weigh a body right before death and then weigh it right after the body is deceased, it's 21 grams lighter than or lighter than it was before it died. Therefore, we know that the physical soul or the essence of the human energy is measurable. So where does that soul go? Well, in my opinion, the soul goes and finds a new body. And that's it, which, you know, does not go with religious belief about going to heaven. I believe that we occupy a new capsule, and that's my explanation. So sometimes God, in his or her infinite wisdom, wishes to take a spirit from one body and move it to another. And that's it, because I believe that we live a series of lives. I don't think you and I will ever die. I think we've been here before, and I think we'll be here again. And my soul, my energy will never die. I'll just move from body to body through the course of time.
But speaking like when I see like a little child with cancer, I always think, oh, that kid, just the reason for the actual disease, I always assume it's got to be an environmental thing. It's got to be a toxin. It's got to be something that was, it's got to be, you know, like out in Long Island where they had the cluster of cancer rates in women, yeah, where they had all the big power lines. I mean, it's got to be something because children.
In the law of science and in factual reality, I would agree with you.
Okay.
But what about in points where you can't always explain things? That's my explanation on a metaphysical level.
Got it.
You know.
Because it always breaks my heart.
I understand.
Yeah. Now, okay, so why do you think some people get cancer and some don't? And in some cases, and it can't just be the care we take of ourselves, because in some cases, there are people who don't really take care of themselves who never get cancer, and then people who take pristine care of themselves, they succumb to cancer. Didn't George Burns, he didn't die of lung cancer. He smoked all those cigars. I mean,
right.
Aren't there just some people that just don't and some people that do?
I know what you're getting at. Right, so
My grandfather, by the way, is one of those. He died at 87. He lived every day. His breakfast every day was a Coca-Cola and a cigar.
Yep.
And he ended up dying of just dementia. He never had...
I understand. So let me answer your question. So this comes back again to where we started branching out into is what you think is what you become. Now, some people are just so damned stubborn that they refuse to get cancer. And I'm one of those people. If you ever ask me, are you going to get cancer? I'll say, absolutely not. I refuse to get it because I don't have time to be sick and I don't believe in getting sick, and that's why I don't get sick. Now, that's not a substantial enough answer for the audience, so I'll take it a step further and put it to you this way. You get cancer, all of us.